Today we talk about Mitzanus. Mitzanus is a topic that is mentioned in Chazal in a variety of ways. And, of course, the great master in the discussion of Mitzanus is the Shaarei Teshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah. And from then on in a number of Sifrei Musar. But there's a Gemara in Maseches Megillah and in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "Kol litzanusa asura, chutz melitzanusa da avoda zara." Gemara Megillah is on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, and Sanhedrin is on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. And the Gemara tells us that litzanus, whatever litzanus exactly is, and all of us have a sense of what it is, mocking something, making fun of something, being sarcastic, being cynical and sarcastic, this is all part of litzanus. So kol litzanus asura, you're only allowed to poke fun at avodah zarah, at idol worshippers, and idol worshipping, and the idols themselves, of course. One of the examples of that is Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, which we had in the Haftarah just before. Eliyahu makes fun of the Baal worship by poking fun at their god and saying that the reason that you don't have a fire coming down from your god to burn up your sacrifice, right? He had two parallel mizbechos, and the mizbeach, which was rebuilt, which he rebuilt, was drenched in water and the fire came down. But before that, he asked them to go first. So the Nevi'ei HaBaal screamed and yelled and tore their garments and tore their skin, and they planted somebody with a torch inside the Mizbeach as well, who died because a snake bit him. And in any case, nothing happened. So after a certain amount of time, and the people were waiting with great impatience to see this unfold, he started mocking the Baal prophets, the worshippers of this god Baal, of the Canaanite god, and he said, maybe he's asleep, maybe he's busy, maybe he's not paying attention. So this is all, of course, sarcastic remarks to needle them and to make them understand that the whole thing is absurd. There's an example of that kind of sarcasm, although it's really the truth, in the Navi, when the Navi says that how absurd it is to make an idol of wood. You take a piece of wood and you carve out your idol, and the rest of the piece of wood you throw into your fire to keep you warm. So these are remarks which make you understand that the whole litzanus, the whole avodah zarah, is one big joke. And the idea of kol litzanusa asura is that otherwise you're not allowed to joke. So the question is, what's the difference between litzanus and humor? Humor, comedy. And at what point does it become litzanus? So I wanted to do with you the Tzidkas HaTzadik of Reb Tzadok HaKoyen. The last piece in the Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik, Reb Tzadok HaKoyen wrote many Sfarim, but Reb Tzadok HaKoyen writes a very interesting expression. At the beginning of this section, Haknisa Lora Hu Al Yedei Litzanus. He says that most people are not inclined to do evil by their very nature. It's a process. And doing what a person should not do, whether it's Bein Adam Lamokum, between man and the Ribbono Shel Olam, or between man and other men, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it makes no difference. The idea is the same. That there's a gradual process. You look at the Rambam, for example, and he speaks about Lashon Hara. And he speaks about Lashon Hara, and he says that's never where it stops. Eventually a person goes against the Almighty himself. He goes against the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person speaks ill of his friend, and eventually that grows and develops, and the personality becomes more and more corrupted. There is in Yiddishkeit a sense that we never sit still. There's no such thing as remaining in the same place. Either you go up or you go down. And there's a constant struggle to remain where you are by going up. Because otherwise you wouldn't remain where you are, you would go down. So this struggle requires that the small things are held at bay lest they mushroom into big things. It's like the idea of a slippery slope that people use that expression today very much. You know, you start and you roll down a little bit, but the slope, the incline is such that you just keep gathering momentum, and the laws of physics apply to spiritual things as well in this sense. That the more you slide, the more you go down, the more momentum you gather to go down further and further. So it gets easier and easier to do the wrong thing as the personality becomes more corrupt. And that's why the little things matter so much. Litzanus is a peculiar thing because you never feel bad about it because it's just a joke. It's not doing anything. Furthermore, I feel that there's a special danger to Litzanus because people are creative. Now, not everybody can make a work of art. Not everybody can play a nocturne on the piano, but everybody can make Litzanus. but there is the exercise of the creative instinct in that, each one on his level. And some of the great satirists, you know, they were brilliant at it. Sometimes there's a line that, you know, that really gets you, you know, between the eyes. And there's something else also. There is always a rebellious streak inside of us and an attitude or a feeling that we would like to be independent. We don't want the yoke of any other human being on us, whether it's a husband or a wife, to be frank with you, or a parent, or a president, or a king, or an emperor. It doesn't make any difference. There's a natural instinct for a person to be independent and free. Not always a positive instinct. But that instinct makes a person rebel and fight. You can't always fight with a gun. You can't always fight with any accomplishment. But what you can do is show your, more than disdain, your independence by making a sarcastic remark. So the sarcastic remark is a throwing off of the yoke. It might be a tiny little thing, and it might be irrelevant in the greater picture. But at that moment, you feel good about yourself because I told Obama, you know, I told him, I showed him. You know, you showed him, you know, whatever. So in that kind of attitude, if it is used in the wrong way, it is a small thing that is megala, really a rebellion against Hashem. And that's why kol litzanusa asura chutz mlitzanusa d'avodah zarah, precisely because when it is a mocking of the negatives, that keeps us with an awareness and an understanding that we are not allowed to accept the yoke of that avodah zarah. So the same force works, but it works in this particular case in the positive direction. So he says, Hakniso lorahu al yedei litzanus. It's the beginning, it's the Pesach, it's the doorway to all that's evil. That's a powerful statement. Moshe Amru Zal, habo l'tamei poischin. He says, I'll prove it to you. Because the Gemara says that when a person comes to do good things, to purify himself, habo l'tayer, there's a positive agenda that the forces of Hashem are there to help you. What we call siyata d'shmaya, the assistance of Hashem. Hashem helps us in a proactive way. But what if a person comes to do wrong, to do evil? So then Hashem does not assist him to do the evil. But he does step aside. Haba l'tamei poischen loy. How do you know this? So they quote the pasuk im la leitzim hu yolitz. They quote our pasuk. Pasuk in Mishlei Perek Gimel pasuk lamed dalid im la leitzim hu yolitz ula novim yitein chen. Hakadosh Baruch Hu returns the kindness, so to speak. If you are going to be a leitz, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a leitz with you. So the question is, what does that mean? So the Gemara interprets, not that he'll act like a leitz. He will allow your litzanus. Im la leitzim, who, ki'ilu, it would say, he will allow you. He won't stop you. So if a person is headed in that slippery slope direction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not put on the brakes. So if you learn from Habol Letame, from the Pasuk Imla Leitzim Hu Yolitz, you have to ask a question. What does it have to do with Bol Letame? Letzonus is not such a big thing. Letame means to become contaminated, to become impure. How do you use the word Leitzim when you're talking about impure? So the answer is, says Reb Tzadok HaKoyen, that it is the beginning of the end. Letzonus is the opening gambit of the player who wants to have a checkmate for his whole life, for everything that matters and everything that is valuable and holy. And that is why Letzonus is so nefarious, because you never think it's a big deal. And it comes so easily. And you show off your chachma. And you have that measure of independence. Has all those positive ingredients for a person who wants to have that moment in the sun, so to speak, that little moment of excitement in the day. And you don't realize to what extent that does damage to the whole religious psyche. So that's what he says, that Habol Tami Paiskum, the way they learn from this pasuk. Mavur the lates who have bio vahaknisa l'chol mine tuma, for who yolitz pirush k'moisha amru b'zoyar, the k'moisha mis'or l'mato kachl u'mosa l'malo. Vahalates m'malo gamke mis'loitzitzim mimenu, pirush, marim loy ki'ilu yesh li'isloitzitz be'emes me'oso dover. V'zehu poskin sh'nosn lo pesach li'isloitzitz, v'zeh be'emes l'tzonus mimenu, he has a different shot than some of the other Mepharshim. Some of the Mepharshim say what I told you a moment ago, that Hu Yolitz doesn't mean that there will be a Litzanus parallel to his Litzanus, because that's like Messiah Lo in the negative. So they say, the other Mepharshim, that Hu Yolitz means he will allow the Litzanus, but he doesn't do anything but play. According to Reb Tzadok HaKoyen, based on the Zohar, there's a very remarkable thing. It's called mimicry. Mimicry. There is, you have sometimes a clown, he sees somebody doing something funny, or a foolish person, or somebody who's retarded also. You see somebody doing something funny, and they replicate the emotions and the activity, and they think they're also funny. So the idea here is that when you see in the mirror, I think the best example of what I'm trying to say is Kass. Anybody that would see a movie of his Kass would feel very stupid. It's the truth. Because when Kass seizes a person, when a person gets angry, Kass, anger, when a person gets angry, he loses his balance, he loses his equilibrium. And small things become big things, and the regular stops, the regular breaks and controls that a person has to keep up his dignity, fall away. So the biggest foolishness is kas. Now, when a person is, however, angry, the anger blinds him and prevents him from seeing that foolishness. Person standing on top of the mountain, so to speak, and witnessing the scene, there's an embarrassment quality. How could a person be so stupid, and how could a person be so upset about this? But, and how could a person be so aggressive to his friend, etc., or to his wife, or to her husband? But at the same time, he himself doesn't see it. Take a movie and show it to him 2 days later. And he tears the hair out of his head, if he's a shtickle mensch. Because he realizes how absurd and how wrong and how inappropriate it all was. And unnecessary. If you would see the mirroring of the Litzanus, you'd realize the wrong of the Litzanus. So, but it says here that there is a mirroring in a place that he can't see, in the Olam Yisrael Yoinim. But that mirroring defines, in a sense, the absurdity of what he does. It's a very powerful Zohar. A person's mislotzeitz here, the movie plays up there. But up there, when they look at that movie, it's much worse than seeing the cast 2 days later. Because it denigrates the significance of the person that's elates. Imagine, the Koichos HaOlyonim are making fun of the person that's making fun. It's a very powerful image, this Zohar. The Kemosha Misar Lamato Kachlu Masalamala Valates Milamala Gamke Mislotesim Mimenu. How are they Mislotesim Mimenu? By imitating him. It's a remarkable thing. Then he continues, Vehei Me'arba Kito She'ena Mekablim Pnei Ashchina. Pirush. Ha'ma'akvim u'mevalbulim ha'machshova b'tfila u'be'es ritzoyne l'davik bo yisborach b'machshova zoris. It's a remarkable explanation of Reb Tzadok HaKohen here too. It's not a punishment that if a person is a leitz, then he's not zoicha to be mekabel pnei ashchina. And it's not talking about Yerushalayim losad lovay. It's talking about the principle that whenever a person davens, he is standing literally before Hashem. Omed lifnei Hashchina. And when a person is omed lifnei Hashchina, he doesn't have kavana because he is mevubal in his litzanus. I'd like to be masbir that a little bit more. Why is it toli zebazeh? It's very simple. Cynicism and satire go hand in hand. It's the truth. In fact, most people who are very innocent, people consider them stupid because they don't seem to get the joke, as it were. Now, innocence, when you approach the Ribbono Shel Olam, you feel the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is real. The cynic, he doesn't see anything. What he don't see doesn't exist. Chmono Litzlam. That's the punishment, ke'ilu, in quotation marks, that is self-inflicted. The person of satire mocks and mocks and mocks until in the end there's no reality left. There's no truth left that's really true. Because everything is a joke. Everything is the opposite of what it is for him. Everything is negative that's positive. And anyone that claims the positive, what is the immediate reaction of the lights? You're naive. You're naive. That's ridiculous. So all good is disintegrated, is crushed by the litzanus of the lights. And that's why he can't be a mispalel. So it's not a punishment. He can't be a mispalel because he has shredded his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by his very sarcasm. You have to feel very, very simple lifnei Hashem and very honest to be able to perceive the Shechina. Veheimar bakitos shebelev hamechunim bazoyer abba ve'ima docha v'nukva kenoida veheim v'ra rashitevois chashmal v'chanofim and leitzim, right? And the leitzim hureishis ha'omer l'toiv ra v'reishis goyim amolik shehu leitz kaniskar. In the negatives, just like in the positives, there are hierarchies. Now you know what happened with Amalek? The pasuk tells you, Asher Karcha Bader. That's exactly what I'm talking about. What is Karcha? From the Lashon Kar. So Chazal tell us that you know what they did? There was this boiling hot tub and no one dared enter it out of fear that they'll be scalded, they'll get burnt. And Amalek jumped into the tub and he cooled the tub, as it were. Meaning that from then on, people were not afraid. So you have God's people, they came out of Egypt, the Yotze Mitzrayim, and they have this tremendous ally. The master of all the universe is their ally. Who's going to start up with them? It's much more than America as an ally. To have the Ribbono Shel Olam as your ally. Who's going to start up? But a leitz, the cynic, has no sense of the truth and has no desire for reality because he thinks he can knock the reality down with words. You stand up to the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, I'm not interested. I don't believe in you. So that's like a germ, a molecule fighting the sun. Could you imagine? Oh, but it doesn't matter. The human has the koach to be absurd, and I can get up and say anything I want. So you have this whole umma called Amalek that jumps into the boiling tub. Now go tell them you're going to be scolded. Doesn't make a difference. The late does not have any respect for the truth or for reality, because he manufactures, maneuvers, manipulates, and distorts the truth with his words. So they get up and they say, "We deny you, Hashem." So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu change? Did they accomplish anything? But in their denial, there is a horrible rot which infects everybody that is with them and that listens to them. They get inspired. It's an amazing thing. Litzanus is extremely infectious. Humor is infectious in general. When a person laughs, the next person laughs for no reason. He doesn't even know why he's laughing. And many times people do things and they start to laugh and they can't stop laughing. It's an incredible koyach, this sense of laughing and humor and joking and jest. But the fact is that in this negative sense, its infectious quality is even more so because of this rebellious streak that every person has to throw off the yoke. You enjoy the sarcasm. People like to hear a cute remark which is negative. They have a hana from it. And that's why the best cartoons are the cartoons that in a subtle way show the absurdity of a situation. In Avodah Zarah, that's good. When you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu or about Yiddishkeit, then of course it undermines everything. So that's what he says. He says that the koach of the leitz is the koach of Amalek. Lachain boi timcha ki kol midara yesh bechlolo. You want to know why it says timcha zera Amalek? What's the timcha Amalek v'dafka? Why just Amalek? With so many enemies of the Jews. He says because the koach of Amalek, that koach of asher korcha, to cool off the boiling tub, to deny the reality of Hashem that is all powerful, to reject the notion that you can't touch the ummah that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the source of all evil. And there is no way of fixing it. It has to be expunged. And that's why it's Timcha, ki b'chol midara yesh b'chloloi toiv, sharei nikva gam kim b'Yisrael, u'mitzara toiv heim chasidu ummas ha'olam, sheyesh lam chelak ha'olam haba. For us, Efoch Sofa Bru, he says, take all the other nations of the world. Why isn't there the idea of Timcha Eisam? Because everybody has a potential for good, and every nation has their Hasidei Umas HaOlam, and they have their way of coming closer to Hashem, except for one nation. And that nation is unique and distinct, and that is Amalek. Is a very remarkable argument over here. And then he adds at the end, Ve'ein Mokum, after the last bracket, three lines from the bottom, Ve'ein Mokum la'avodah zarah, Ein Mokum l'litzanus klal, Ve'ein boi hashara lo'olam haba klal. So he adds here a very interesting point. In all of the midos, you will have a residual of that midah, of course, in the world to come, and in Yemei HaMashiach. When there will be a time of ki oz efoch sofa brura, the koach of litzanus will be completely useless, because there won't be anything negative anymore to mock. And the ummah that is a chepz of litzanus cannot survive into that future. It's a very remarkable idea. He's combining here the notion that since litzanusa asur is litzanusa d'avodah zarah is mutar, but when there won't be, so there is some litzanus that's still valid. He says, but every other midah has validity. Kin has validity, even kas has validity. But their validity continues lasid lava. The only midah that doesn't have a validity loss at Lavo is the midah of litzanus. Why? Because the only thing you could use litzanus for, which is litzanusa against avodah zarah, cannot exist when there is no avodah zarah. So if everyone is owning up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the kayach of litzanus is totally negative and totally non-existent. That's his taina, and that's his explanation. I just wanted to be moist of something to the Olam about this. Before I want to touch upon the Rabbeinu Yonah and some of the things that he says. The pasuk continues, "Im leitzim hu yolitz ula anovim yitein chen." And a very interesting thing that the anovim here and in several other places in Tanakh is spelled not with a vav but with a yud, as if it is la'anim. And I wanted to point something out. Anova, humility, is a remarkable positive midah that is expressed, and its positive nature is portrayed in many, many places, in many psukim, in many ma'amari chazal. It's like one of the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, that anova is a very positive midah. Furthermore, gaiva is a very negative midah, and except if it's used in a certain way where it's no longer really gaiva, it's totally rejected. Gaiva and litzanus have a tremendous common denominator, because anova, humility, is inherently associated with respect for others. And gaiva is inherently associated with disrespect for others. If I'm bigger than you, and better than you, and more than you, why should I bother with you altogether? Litzanus is a way for the small fry to be bigger than they are. That's the truth. That's what litzanus is. Litzanus is the tool of false gaiva. And that is why the pasuk parallels here in Mishlei, im laleitzim hu yolitz, ula anovim yiten chein. And the interesting thing about anovim yiten chein is, I want to be masbir that a little bit. We would expect that compassion and contempt are opposites almost. The truth of the matter is, there's something in human nature, and maybe we need psychologists to explain it to us, or Big Bali Musa to explain it to us. But it's crystal clear that it is so. The Metzius is what it is. Why it is so, maybe we need explanations. You know what is? That when we look upon the poor and the unfortunate, we look with contempt. Now don't jump on me. But it's the truth. It is a contempt that I think personally is rooted in fear. You know, nobody likes to go to a nursing home. It's the truth. Why not? It's the biggest chesed in the world. It's such a kindness. You know why? Because you see yourself. That's why. You know what it's like? You know, when you go to a doctor today, so the doctors have a system. They see the patient after an hour or so. But you don't sit in the waiting room the entire hour, because then you're not being dealt with. You're not being taken care of. But they don't want, they're busy, and maybe legitimately. I'm not talking now negatively about doctors. I'm not interested in that. I'm just telling you about something else. So they decide to have like this transitional phase. You know what I mean? You leave the waiting room and you put in room B or C or D. And they tell you to take off your clothes. Unless it's a psychiatrist. But they tell you to take off your clothes. So you expect that, oh, any minute now. Then you sit there in the gown or whatever for another half an hour, doing absolutely nothing. And if you're claustrophobic to begin with, then stop gack, that sucks. But the fact of the matter is that when the person takes off his clothes, it's an incredible equalizer. You could be a professor, you could be a millionaire. The doctor himself is an equalizer. In a doctor's office, everybody shove b'shove.
and a person goes there because Rachmana Litzlan, there's something wrong, it's not your annual checkup. And even the annual checkup person goes in with fear and trepidation. Most people avoid a checkup because they don't want to know. Is that logical? It's the absence of logic. It's totally nonsensical. That Metzius is not going to change because you didn't check yourself out. And if a person checks himself out earlier, there's a greater chance that if there is Chas V'Shalom anything wrong, it could be fixed with the Eibishter's help. But human nature is the head in the sand ostrich that does not want to know of the negative and is not interested in finding out negatives. And it is very much, their sense of self is a very gaivadika kind of thing. You don't want to be reduced. You don't want to be naked. Mona mechabusa, clothing, the Gemara says, is the covet of a person. When we look at a poor person, at a desperate person, at a schlepper, at the beggar who stinks, we don't think, because I have, I'm going to take mine and give to you. And because I can help you, I will help you. Because I can bathe you, I will bathe you. You got to be a tremendous tzaddik for that. There was one Reb Zelig Heller in the whole East Side who was able to take all of these, the shopping bag people, the people who stench. They used to sit in the back of the Beis Medrash when Reb Moshe gave a shiur, because that was Reb Moshe. And the Talmidim used to ask Rebbe, maybe you're not allowed to learn now because of the smell. Let them be. And then, so who would take them in? Who would bathe them? Who would take them into the house and bathe them and feed them and treat them like human beings? And give them dignity. Yechidei skula. You have to be a tzaddik yesod olam for that. Why? Well, it's hard and it stinks, but that's not the reason. I don't think so. I think the reason is because the person who is observing that matzav is looking at himself in the mirror, and he doesn't like what he sees, and he's not interested in the sight, and he doesn't want to contaminate himself with that matzav, because he knows that it's possible. The fear of death is only one kind of fear. The fear of failure, the fear of decay, of disintegration, is maybe even a greater kind of fear. And when you walk into that nursing home, and you see this person is not capable of going to the bed, and another person is not capable of talking properly, and a third person doesn't know b'chlal that he's in this world, and a fourth person can't get out of bed, and by the time you look around, you run for your life, and you don't want to come back again. So no revolution. Because it's not a malach that's coming in to visit people. It's a person coming in to visit people. And that's why la'anovim yitein chen. Without that measure of chen, the ani is lost. Because the sense of rejection of the ani is a natural and normal reaction. We don't want to be contaminated. When the rich man moves to the top of the hill and the other side of the tracks, it's not merely to show that he's arrived. There's always that separation. I want to tell you something that I thought, and maybe it's in one of the Sfarim. I'm not sure, but it says in the Psukim in Megillas Esther, if you look carefully, you will realize it. The first time it says that they celebrated and they decided to do things on Purim to commemorate the Yeshua, it says only Mishloach Monos Ishlariyeyu. It does not say Matonos Levyayim. The second epistle, the second letter that was sent out to everyone, said that it will be a day not only of gifts to one another, but also gifts to the poor. But in the first letter, it only says Mishloach Monos Ishlariyeyu, to one another. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because in the face of death, everybody was the same. And in the salvation, at that moment, when they perceived still that they had been threatened, and it was so fresh, everybody was the same. There was no one on the other side of the tracks. There was no one on the top of the hill. Everybody was equal. And everybody was Ish L'Re'ehu. There was no need to speak of Matanos L'Avyonim because they gave it B'Toyres Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. Let a little time go by and everything settles back into its default. And all of a sudden the rich were on top of the hill and they don't want to know from the Aniyim. And Ish L'Re'ehu means, I'm rich, you're rich, I give you my present, you give me a present, it's fancy, it's delightful, it's wonderful. What about all those people that are suffering? I don't know from them. I don't want to know from them. I don't want to be contaminated by their failure. I don't want to be contaminated by their bad mazel. I don't want to know that I could be like that by a turn of fortune, by a twist of my mazel. And that is why there had to be a separate command of Matanos L'Avyonim. Because the gifts to the poor are now you're including everybody. Even the ones who are not with you on that part of the town, are not with you on top of the hill. It's a Meir Dikazach. But that's what happened. It didn't take long, and everything just went back to its natural default. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give special chain to the Anovim. And Anovim is written Aniyim. I'll tell you why. Because the Anovim are the Aniyim. It's very hard, Midas HaAnova. And the people who are poor, they have nothing to... They don't have a shingle to hang out. Look at me. Look at what I have. Look at who I am. Because they themselves think they're nothing. And they don't have anything. And they have nothing to show for themselves. But you know what the remarkable thing is? Anovim... are attracted to Anovim. Anovim are attracted to Anovim. Balei Gaiva feel contaminated by the Anovim. It says, that we say, after V'yitin L'cholikim, Matzai Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan kol mokom, shata moitze gedulose shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shom ata moitze and the sonuso. It always bothered me, this expression. I would have expected that it says as follows. Wherever you see the greatness of Hashem, there you see His compassion. Why? Because all the psukim that are quoted say that I am with the Anovim, I am with the Aniyim, right? Am Rabbi Yochanan b'chol mokum shatamotzi gdulosu shal kodesh bochu shom atamotzi am v'sonusa dover zekotsu b'torah. Why? It says ki Hashem olakechum olakei olakim v'adonei adonim okei lagodol agiba v'anoira, etc. Oksiv basrei oisem mishpat yosem v'almona v'ohev ger losis lelechem v'simla. Where do you see me this Anova there? You see compassion. You see kindness. You see generosity. Next pasuk, Shonu Banavim. Kiko Amaram Venishkon Shoykhan Ad Vikodosh Moy Moram Vikodosh Eshkon Vezdaku Shval Ruach Lahach Yos Ruach Shvalim Lahach Yos Lev Nitkoyim. I quicken them. I bring them back to life. Again, compassion. Where is Anova? The third pasuk, Shiru Lulukim Zam Mushmo Solu Lurachei Barabos. God is riding on high. And it says, Avi Yisomim Vidayan Almonos. He's the father of the orphans. Again, compassion and concern and loving care and kindness. Where is the humility? Nevertheless, it doesn't say in Rabbi Yochanan that he is, wherever you find God's greatness, you also find in that context, the pasuk tells me about God's compassion or God's humility. It says instead, you find God's what? You find God's humility. Doesn't say God's compassion and kindness. It says God's humility. Where is the humility? So I'll tell you the answer. It's very simple. Because he lives on the same side of the tracks. That's where you see his humility. It says in the pasuk that I live with them. Maraim eshkoin v'es dako ushval ruach. I dwell amongst the poor. What is the pshat that he dwells amongst the poor? You know why? Because the aniyim are anovim. And gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand. So, because what does any human being have to be misgoy about? When it's hayoim kanu mocher bakever. We are all in that matzav of poverty except by the grace of Hashem. We are all helpless. It even says, "Benogeya ar yetzer toiv and yetzer hara," that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help us every moment of every day, we would never prevail against our nether instincts, against our baser nature. So what do we have to be so proud of? Person knows a lot of Torah. First of all, he should have known more. And secondly, he's given the Torah to be able to give it to others. And it's not something to be proud of that you have a better mind or better genes, because that's the way you were made. You came into the world that way. It's almost impossible for anyone to claim anything for themselves. And parnasa, riches, this is a mazel. You have people who are incredibly stupid, who are phenomenally wealthy. And you have people who are brilliant and capable and talented and even charming. And they don't have a penny to their names. And one day a person buys oil and it goes up. And one day a person buys oil and he loses his pants. Now he can always sit in the doctor's office. You bring him food, you know. Oh, but the fact of the matter is that if you have anova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu embraces you. He's my man. You know that lashon? He's my man. And that's why it's an desanuso, because only anovim live with anovim. The rich always go to the other side of the tracks. And it's not just to show off, because that's where you can build a big and fancy house. It's because they don't want to be contaminated. They don't want to be contaminated with the insect, with the bacterium, the bacillus of poverty. It's a fact. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's my place. See, when you have everything, you can have another. When you are all powerful, you can have anova. When you are the greatest of human beings, you can have anova. Moshe haya anov mikol adam ashal pnei adam. It's only when you are limited that you can be a bal gaiva. It's amazing. It's mamish the opposite of what you'd expect. The person who has no rights. The person who doesn't have has every right. It's remarkable. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu insists on dwelling upon them. Because they are bereft of gaiva. They have not an ounce of pride in their hearts. Hashem says, then there's plenty of room for me in those hearts. It's a remarkable idea. I just wanted to conclude with two things. First of all, I wanted to give you a marimokim, and the Bli Neder, I will print it out for you if you so desire. But the Shari Tshuvah Rabbeinu Yonah, everybody should have in their homes. And they have it now in English translation as well. In Shar Gimel, Os Kuf Ayin Dalit through Os Kuf Ayin Zayin, those paragraphs, he speaks about five different categories of the category of Leitz. In other words, Leitz is divided into subcategories, and there are five kinds of Leitzim. I just wanted to mention one of them. The third one. He goes from the worst kind to the lightest kind. And he says all five are categories that are no good. Because it says about Kat Leitzim that from the four Kitos that are not Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. But it says here in the third category, Misha Loek Tomid Lidvarim Bulip Ulos. Is a person that is not interested in hurting anybody, and he doesn't want to undermine anybody's authority or anybody's authenticity, but just he has that kind of slanted look on things that makes everything ridiculous and absurd. And he says that. You have a mission in Pirkei Avos. Al tihi boz l'chol odom v'al tihi maflig l'chol dover. She'ein lecha adam, she'ein leisha, ve'ein lecha davar, she'ein lemakom. What he means is, in Yiddishkeit, you're not allowed to be cynical. You know, poor person comes into the Beis Medrash. You give him a dollar, and then you turn around to your friend, they're all a bunch of ganot. Or, not so harsh, he's richer than you and I. And so, this person, you'll never see him again. Of course, it does affect maybe how the person treats other aniyim. But that's not the point of the Shaarei Teshuva. Even if it doesn't impact on his actions, the one who hears it or the one who says it, that attitude is a very, very negative attitude. And negative attitudes are not Jewish. I'll tell you a very interesting thing. The Jew comes out of the gas chamber, smashed beyond imagination. His entire family is wiped out. And he is a skeleton, a living skeleton. And he has nothing and nobody. All of his possessions were taken away, even the gold in his teeth. And he comes out of it, and he's barely alive. And 2 decades later, he's built himself a life, and a family, and a place under the sun. The only way that can happen, Rabbi Isai, is if you have an extraordinary ability to deny even the reality of death and evil and have a tremendous claim on the possibilities of the good. It's otherwise impossible that a person should be able to survive. And the cynicism worm is like the worm that eats from within, like the worm that ate up the Titus Harasha, like the worm that destroys the apple. On the surface it looks just as shiny, but you cut it open and it's all rotten inside. It's a kayach that has a very powerful and unpredictable consequence. The sense of hope, the sense of the future, the sense of possibility that is ours in a very unique way and is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to survive thousands of years of persecution and death and mayhem and dislodging ourselves from one community to another. You look at the shach. Every time I open up the Shulchan Aruch Yeridayim Chashim Mishmur and I look at the shach on the side and I see the shach in his incredible brilliance. It's like thousands of suns exploding in front of me. Unbelievable brain power, unbelievable capacity, unbelievable memory, unbelievable knowledge. Just it overwhelms you. And that's a person who may have a little bit of a claim to understanding. And you realize that you are nothing and less than nothing. And it's such a glorious thing to be able to just be allowed to read those words and to learn those words. And then you realize that the Shach was living and writing at the time of the Khmelnytsky massacres, when 100,000 or more Jews were put to death in the most horrifying of tortures. And I mean, they tell stories about women whose stomachs were cut open and cats, live cats, were sewn back into their stomachs. I mean, there's mamish nerevayim, and what the guy can perpetrate. There's no. I mean, I have to tell you. There's Mengele's all over the place, and this shach writes glorious Torah about the most complicated things on the run. He doesn't know what tomorrow will bring, and he doesn't know whether his family's alive or dead. How could that be? That a teretz is because in Yiddishkeit litzanus is chutz militzanus adavodah zarah. We have to exercise that midah. There's a place to exercise it if we have to get it out of our system. But in Yiddishkeit itself, there is only hope and only good and only excitement and only enthusiasm, and it's a remarkable thing. So if a person comes to a place and there's nothing, a few years later there's a mikveh, and there's a shul, and there's a yeshiva, and there's a Beis Yaakov, and it's just incredible. Mi yolad liyaseila, the Navi asks, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, who gave birth to all of these? Vanishkula v'galmuda, goyla v'sura. Who are these from? You know, the one of the most outstanding examples, but there are many, and many small people too. The Kloisenberger Rebbe lost his entire family. Look what he built. Look what he built. An empire of good, an empire of kindness, an empire of hope. You can't build an empire of hope unless you are a person of great hope. And you can't be a person of great hope if you are a letz. And people who are brilliant have a proclivity to being letzim because they always see, in Yiddishkeit, that sense of humor always sees the dark side, always sees the twist. The biggest humorists, the biggest comedians are Yidden. And they always have a certain kind of humor. It's not the slapstick humor. It's the humor that, you know... So, yeah, that shtach, that sharpness, to be able to control that and not let it boomerang at you is an unbelievable thing. And that's why Yiddishkeit kept saying, you are capable of litzanus. You have a genius for litzanus. Don't use it. It's a remarkable thing. You'd say to yourself, doesn't that make the life a little bit too drab? Isn't it nice to have a good humor section in the newspaper? Isn't it nice to have a few good jokes? Isn't it enjoyable to have sometimes a Purim all year long? And when you have a little good times at the expense of your Rebbe or of your parents or whoever? The answer is absolutely not. That's what the answer is. I just wanted to be Messiah. If you'll allow me just two more minutes. Rav Moshe was asked a very interesting tshuva by one of my chaverim, my yedidim, Rav Yehuda Parnas. He wanted to know, a person's going to school, to college, or to high school maybe, and he's asked to read these books for literature class, or for history class, or for culture class, whatever it is, books that were written by Ovdei Avodah Zarah about Avodah Zarah. Are you allowed to read them? He's talking about a teacher. Person's given a job in one of the public high schools or whatever, or the colleges, and he's making his parnasa. And his job is to teach Greek and Roman times. So he has to teach Greek and Roman culture, which is fraught with Avodah Zarah, with the Parthenon, and all the idols there, and the various gods. And he says that the Rambam says in the second parak of Avodah Zarah, parak Beis, halacha Beis, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, she isur hakriya b'sfarim shechibru of the kachavim b'avodasa, who mishum shedavar ze goyrim lehipanos achareo v'lasos k'ma shehem oisim. The Rambam says that al tifnu elo alilim is in situations where if we learn and study the ways of Avodah Zarah, we will be impressed and inspired by them, and chas v'shalom will end up doing it. So he asks, what about cultures and religions that have already been put many, many, many centuries completely debunked, and no one takes it literally, and no one takes it seriously, and there's no possibility of becoming an Ovid Avodah Zarah for their gods. So it's just history, it's just ancient history. And that might not be included, based on this Rambam, in the Isur of Al-Tifnu Al-Alilim, and therefore you're allowed to teach it, because you're teaching Baba Mises. And everybody knows that it's Baba Mises. So how is it going to have an impact upon you? So, he writes as follows. And then he writes, on the other hand, maybe the Isur still exists. This was the question that was asked of Reb Moshe. Maybe the Isur still exists, even though the reason for the Isur fell away in this case. So the Reb Moshe writes, Hanochel anius daiti de listakel b'tzura shel avodah zorah shugamke mitzat al tifnu al alilim osur af shaleka hatam kechol isurim she'ein kluyim b'hatam af ba'elu shenem hatam. He says there's a general rule that when something is forbidden, even though it's forbidden for a reason that no longer exists,
the Isur continues in place, even though the time has fallen away, even if the reason is no longer relevant. And he adds a few more things, etc., etc. But then he says, nevertheless, he says that there are certain things in Avodah Zarah that are different than others. In Chukos HaGoyim, it depends how the Goyim go now. If a Goy was dressed or was had his tantra, his haircut a certain way, 1,000 years ago, and nobody goes like that today, that's not called Chukos HaGoy. Chukos HaGoy is, in your society, how does the Goy look? And what is the uniquely Goyish way of dressing or of cutting his hair? He says, on the other hand, there are other Isurim of Avodah Zarah that are Asa L'Olam, even when it's Batal Hatam. So he says, that's different, Chukos HaAkum, than Hakofas HaPeya, for example. So he says, the Menogeya are Inyan. I'm going to skip to the bottom line, as it were. L'chein gam likro b'sfarim shechibru b'avodosa yesh le'asar, af sh'neimu shebatal hatam b'zman hazeh, shekvor nimasu de'yoseyem ba'olam. So he says that be'emes, if you read a book that was written at the time in a positive way and is full of idol worship that we are completely rejecting today and we know that it's worthless and useless, he says, afal pikein, you're not allowed to read those books. Very interesting. However, he says, a book that is written today that describes that as meaningless and useless, that you would be allowed to read. So he says, Ha'isur nira pashut sha'isur hurak b'sfarim shechibru ha'akum sha'ovdim l'avodah zarah sheheim kosvu zeh l'shvacha b'divrei hevel l'shtus shenid melehem shehu shevach shesfarim ka'elu nesru b'shvil hatam v'lav d'al tifnu alilim v'nesa l'olam af k'shiz batal hatam shalayim shechu b'nei odom b'divreihem atipshiyim. Even if no one's going to be inspired by those books anymore, and no one will build himself a statue to the goddess Athena, it's ridiculous. But nevertheless, the positive books that were written at the time and translated into other languages, of course, not everybody who teaches these things knows Greek or Latin, but nevertheless, in translation, these are translations of all the positive books about the Avodah Zarah that he's not allowed to read, even though the time is gone. Even though the reason is bottled. But, he says, that which was written, right? Svarim sheneschabru mikoifrim b'avodah zarah. That's written by people who were rejecting the Avodah Zarah and making fun of the Avodah Zarah. And what? Yeah, and that's what Sanusa d'Avodah Zarah. Exactly, that's what he says. That the whole purpose of writing is to show how absurd and useless it is. Matzinu gam b'kroi shemisapri me'avodosam avokeven shu ba'oifen shu levazas l'slotzitz eno klum. The kolshken shein lesser ato majlo yosoz. So he says those people who wrote against the Avodah Zarah and described the Avodah Zarah in contradistinction to what they believed was the truth, which was against the Avodah Zarah, you can read about the Avodah Zarah in their writings because in their writings it's just litzanus. Litzanusa d'Avodah Zarah. And v'imkein k'shetzaruch l'umot ha'kurs. So what? So now he gets practical, Reb Moshe. So when the person has to study these things, tzaruch ledaber b'loshon sheyavinu, he says when he's talking to his students, he has an obligation if he has to describe the various activities of the Avodah Zarah, right? Sheyavinu sheim inyoni shtus v'hevel, eich shedover hevel ze osu v'dover hevel ze asha afilu k'tzas ben das yimas bazeh. Very remarkable thing. He says at the very end, something very, very profound. He says, you know, if you can point out, he says, there may be one good thing that you can do in teaching this stuff. He says, forget about the books for a moment, he says. If you could point out that there was a certain time that millions of people worshipped these idols, and the whole world now understands that it's
at best some philosophy, but there's nothing to the idols at all. The idols are meaningless. And there are no such gods. And there aren't gods that are whimsical and fighting each other and playing around with human beings. Now, this was the Hellenism, and this was the temples that almost wreaked havoc with our Yiddishkeit. And millions of people, not enough. It was the glory of their culture. It was the greatness of human civilization. It was the highest that any human being could expect to reach. And compared to that, what was Yiddishkeit? Narrow, parochial, irrelevant. And so many Yidden were taken up with this. And now we know that it's in the history dustbin. It's nothing. The culture is nothing. The religion is certainly nothing. And the people are gone. If a person can convey that this little minuscule thing called Bnei Yisrael survived and prevailed and the rest of it went to nothing, then he can maybe give them an understanding that just because there are millions and billions of people that don't believe in what you believe in doesn't mean a kihuzeh. Look how it was then, the same. And now we know the truth. Eventually the whole world will know that truth. That's a very beautiful thought. He says, if you can do that, then by teaching these things, you're actually making a Kiddush Hashem. Should be zayche to understand the dangers of Litzanus and control ourselves.